Here's what we're going to do. I want to take a moment, and I'm going to ask Chris to share. So I have bookends. I have Chris at the beginning, and then I've asked Kim to share toward the end. And I'm actually, if anyone wants to share a quick moment about what happened last Sunday, I promise there's a point to it. So, and, you know, if you're sitting there wondering, should I share? Should I say the things that God was doing last Sunday? I want to let you know that it can be very helpful to people who are watching to see a real person who has been changed by the real Holy Spirit. And so as you're sitting there, if you feel them little butterflies in your belly, you know the ones I'm talking about, the should I, shouldn't I ones, if you feel that, that's usually a good indication that maybe today is the day. No pressure. We'll have time to share stories along the way. But Chris, tell them a little bit, if you will.
Yeah. Kevin sent an email and said, will you share? And he said, we're just going to have some brief sharing, brief. And he kept saying that word. So, so I was sitting here, you know, praying about what to say and what did God do? Because God really moved on me last week. And, you know, but all I can say is how do you describe the indescribable? And how do you explain the unexplainable that everything changed, but at the same time, nothing's changed. And I guess that's how God, Gary and I were talking earlier about, you know, how do you talk about God when he's in totally different from the way we understand things. But I'll just tell you this, that I spend a lot of time praying for you guys. I spend a lot of time praying for this church. And there right now, God is doing a work that I have never seen. When I was praying for Kevin last week and he's up here hyperventilating before he's going to go on, I'm looking for a paper bag to let him start breathing into. And he's not doing this for any, you know, emotionalism or sensationalism to get people to, you know, that God is moving on people. And I am seeing some incredible things happen. I would say this, that the bus is leaving, and it's great to have God come in your life and touch you in a powerful way on a Sunday. But my challenge to you guys would be: what's happening during the week? Do you have peace? Do you have joy? You know, is God moving in your life throughout the week? And He's ready to. I know that, but we got to take a step towards Him. I would say this to you: if you want to chase the things of the world, then good luck to you. You know, go do it. But if you want to follow Christ and let Him touch you, that this season is happening right now, and something's happening, man. And I would encourage you to get on board. I would encourage you to take that step. He talked about last week about surrender and about, hey, how long are we going to just still can be dignified? You know, do we want to just be dignified so people won't look at us a special way? Or do we want Christ to touch us? And it's happening. And all you have to do is say, I'm ready. But it's more than just this on Sunday, that during the week, God is ready. You know, do you have those things that He promises? Do you have the peace and the joy throughout the week? Or you're just coming here on Sunday to get a relief from something, and that's not the way God works. So I would love to spend some time with anybody that wants to say, hey, I'm ready. I'm ready to get on this bus that's leaving the station where God's going to just pour into me in powerful ways. And I think we're in a time now that we're seeing things that we have never seen. And it's
you weren't here, I've been ministering to a young man, and he seemed so very close, and he had been promising and promising and promising he was coming to church. And so on Saturdays, it was my job to remind him, and on Sunday, it was his job to find something to do. And things kind of, you know how life happens, right? Life just happens. And so Saturday morning, I woke up, and his name is Jason, and Jason was killed by a train. And you begin to think of all those things of what else could I said? How much more could I have done? Could I have ran over to his house in the middle of the night? You know, all those things kind of go through your mind. And And I'm at a place now where, you know, I feel like that God has given us the very thing that we need, the very presence of God to go with us so that we can reach the Jasons of the world. You can't give somebody what you don't have, you know. But once God fills you full of His Spirit, once God fills you full of His love and His grace, you know, you got something. You got something precious. Folks, you've got something precious. I believe God is stirring this thing in us so that we don't keep it to ourselves, but that we share it with other people. So there was some things I hope we'll be able to share them along the way. But as you start to watch a move of God and you begin to ask yourself, is this God? You know, always the question is, this thing God? Is this really of Him? I started looking at what was happening. And, you know, I know you guys. And so when I see God moving in your life and I'm able to talk to you during the week and you begin to see things like people just having a greater love for God. You know, just they say, you know, I love God before, but there's just something renewed and refreshed in me after the Holy Spirit just came on me Sunday. The joy of the Lord, you know, came. I couldn't get near Tiffany. I just laugh, you know. Every time I go near her, I just laugh. And there was no good reason, because Tiffany's father had been going through this issue with bypass, triple bypass, and all these things. And I felt bad about asking her to come up and minister, quite frankly. And I'm like, she probably just needs time to sit there. And, you know, we understand the peace that passes understanding, right? We understand that God, the Holy Spirit, can give us a peace that is so rich and so real that even though our circumstances doesn't look like we should have peace, we can have it because it's a gift. And as I went home, I was like, that was a gift. You know, it was the gift of, she didn't have any good reason to be joyful. And yet the joy of the Lord just surrounded her to the extent that she was leaking. You know, she leaked on me. And so it was just one of those things. I'm like, wow, you know. And here's what's amazing. The world knows tears, right? You know tears, don't you? We all know tears. We've all had our share of tears. What about the joy of the Lord, though? Man, you know, I left out of here thinking, what a precious thing, the joy of the Lord. And then, you know, relationships being restored. I heard about that this week, and minds being completely set free. And as I began to look at what is the fruit of when God pours out His Spirit, those are the things that you look for. That's the kind of fruit that you look for. The other stuff that goes on, you know, if somebody's raising their hand or if somebody's kneeling on the ground or whatever, those are just the side effects, I guess you'd say. You know? But the real thing is this presence of God. And so that's what I really want to continue on this week. I'm on a series, and honestly, the Lord just took that thing hijack. I mean, I think I preached one message out of this series that I thought I was going to preach, the very first one. And since then, the Lord just like hijacked this thing. And I was sitting there today thinking, you know, I hadn't preached since then what I thought I was going to preach. It's just, but the message is still the same. Once you see something the way God sees something, or hear me now, once you see something the way God sees it, everything changes. And that's still the heart of what God is doing here. I think we are seeing God, we are seeing the Lord Jesus, we are seeing His Holy Spirit in ways that we have not seen Him before. And when you see Him the way that He is, that's when change comes. I got to tell you, there was more. I went home and I was still laughing. And I was laughing about this. I said, Lord, You did more in an instant than I could do, and I have no idea how long. You know, I could have went to each individual person and tried to minister to each one of you in all those different areas, and I'd still be doing it. That's the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit, how quickly change can come when you begin to see things the way that He saw it. I said, Lord, my goodness, you changed more in an instant than I could probably change in a lifetime. So let's just continue and let God continue to hijack this thing. He's a better pilot than I am anyway. That whole thing, you remember the bumper stickers used to be, the Lord is my co-pilot? I don't mean to offend anybody if you still got one on your car or something, but I don't know. If he ain't the pilot, I just... You know, he's just got to be the pilot. He's just smarter than me. Matthew 5, if you'll turn with me. this is the Beatitudes. This is where Jesus goes upon a mountain. He begins to preach to the people, and he says some really quick phrases. And I want to just begin with one today in Matthew 5, verse 6. And it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Let me read that to you again. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." You ever been hungry? You ever been really hungry? It's hard to get a group of Americans together and really talk about hungry. You know, hunger for us is like I hadn't had anything to eat in like 4 hours. Yeah. You ever been really hungry? More so, have you ever been real thirsty? You ever notice that when you're hungry and thirsty, it begins to consume virtually every thought that you have? You just get around a person who is hungry or thirsty, and it's all they start thinking about. It's all they start planning for. It's like the rest of the world stops, and it's like they may be doing something else, but what that's really on their mind is, how can I get something to eat? You know, how can I get something to drink? And it begins to be this all-consuming kind of thing. And I believe that there is a spiritual hunger that can take over our lives where we become so hungry and thirsty for the things of God. Oh my goodness. You know, where nothing else seems to matter. I was just thinking about some folks in the Bible that you may be familiar with. And how, remember Moses? How Moses saw God in this burning bush. How many of you would like to see that? Wouldn't that be amazing? Oh my goodness. You know, to say, boy, if I could have seen him that way. And then Moses, he gets up on the mountain. This mountain is quaking with thunder and with lightning. And there's a cloud up there. And he knows that God is up on that mountain and it's just doing all this stuff. And Moses says, I'm going up there because God's up there. And I just got to go up where God is. So here's a man who has seen a burning bush, and yet he knows that God is on the mountain, and he says, I got to go because I just got to have more. And he goes up there, and then he makes this statement over in Exodus. He's been up on the mountain. By the way, most of the people of Israel, they saw the very same thing that Moses saw, and they looked at Moses and they said, you go up there, and you come back and tell us what God says. I don't want you to be like that. I don't want that for you. That you say, God is somewhere, but we'll send somebody else and you come back and tell me about it. I want it to be first person experience with you today. That you would say, if God is on a mountain, then I'll go climb the mountain. Because God is there. And he says over in Exodus 33, now he's seen the burning bush. He's seen God on the mountain. He's seen these miraculous things of God in the desert. And then when he gets an opportunity to ask God for something, to pray for something, in verse 18, then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. Isn't that something? Seen the burning bush. Seen him on the mountain. God says, you want to ask me something? He says, yeah. Can I see your glory? This is a man who is hungering and thirsting for more of God. Now, I realize that in the New Testament, Jesus says that out of us will flow rivers of living water. He said that I can give you water that you will never thirst of again. And I know that becomes a complicated situation, y'all. I understand that because on one thing, I understand that when I drink of God, oh, it's so good. Was that not good? When you drink of the Lord, it is just this most refreshing thing. But then, what do? You're like, oh, that was good. I want a little more. I want a little more. And you can see that in Moses' life where he says, I've had these things. God says, anything you want me to do? Yeah, God, can you just show me your glory? I thought about David and how David walked as closely as probably anyone else. He's described by God as a man after God's own heart. And then he writes one of the Psalms, Psalms 42, and he says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. Here's a guy who has walked as close to God as anybody, and the thing that he pens when it's time for him to write a song is he says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And then I thought about Paul, who knew and experienced things like most people have not. And he writes in Philippians 3, he says, that I may know you. What was the desire of this life? That God, I can just know you more. I just want to know you more. And so I want to ask this question, not in a condemning kind of way, but we just need to get to the point today. What satisfies you? What is it that satisfies the longings of your heart? I venture to say there's some folks here today that you have not found satisfaction because you've looked in wrong places. You've looked in things that the world offers and things that maybe your friends pursued, and just because you saw a smile on their face, you thought that it would put a smile on your face, but you didn't see them at home when they had the tears. And so sometimes we'll follow after folks because we think that what they've got is what we need, and it's the things of the world, and it just doesn't satisfy us. And then you begin to get a taste of God. And I venture to say that many people in the room are saved, that you've given your life to the Lord. And I would ask you this, how hungry are you still? How hungry are you still? Because we can reach these levels where we get satisfied to a place. And that's sort of where we stop. It's like in a love relationship. I love my wife. And so when I spend time with her, we got a chance to go have dinner last night. And I just enjoyed spending dinner with her. But I'm not at a place where I'm like, you know what? That was a fantastic dinner. That should do me the rest of my life. I think I'm good. That really filled me up, filled my belly up, filled me up emotionally. I just don't think I'll ever need to go out to dinner again. You know? If she's still, that's right, she's still, I still got a chance to take her to dinner, right? Again. Yeah. When you love somebody, there is this odd thing to where you are full and wanting all at the same time. Y'all remember, some of y'all been married so long, I got to take you back. I got to take you back a ways. You remember when you couldn't get enough, you know? And the more you got, the more you wanted, you know? And the more time you spent, the better you felt, and the more time that you wanted to spend, and it was just this amazing thing. Sometimes we get that like that with the Lord. Is we get satisfied with something. We get satisfied at a level. We've seen God do something. Maybe we got saved and we thought that all salvation was a ticket into heaven. And so we got our ticket and now we'll just do whatever. I've seen people, they try to walk as close to hell as they can on earth and then try to find a way to jump the train to get to heaven. Am I speaking to anybody? You know, there's this tendency in the world that it tells us that somehow the goal of life is to live just as close to hell as you possibly can, have all the fun that you possibly can, and then somehow before this thing ends, you've somehow got to jump over to the other side before it's too late and just get in. I don't want to just get in. I don't want you to just get in because you can experience God right here. And so if you are stuck at the salvation, I will tell you that there is more of God. If you have experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life, but it was back in 1920, you're probably not alive. I should have said 60. And you're just good there. And you walk around being that person who got baptized by the Holy Spirit. I'd say great, but I'd ask you this, are you full today? Today are you full of His presence? And if you would say, Kevin, you know what? I think I am. Maybe I am hungry. How do I get full? I'm glad you asked. The hunger brings what you long for in every case. If you are hungry for food, you will find food. If you are hungry or if you are thirsty for water, you will stop at nothing until you find something to drink. If you want more of God, I assure you, you will find Him when that is truly, truly what you hunger and thirst for. It's a promise of Scripture. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. And so I will tell you this. It starts with the hunger and the thirst, and the hunger and the thirst are guaranteed to bring you to what you are hungry and thirsty for. What are you hungry and thirsty for? What are you hungry and thirsty for? Then I want to take you on to Acts chapter 1 and 2. Because here's some disciples. They've been hungry and thirsty for Jesus. They've been walking right beside Him. And He's on His way to Jerusalem before He is crucified. And He tells them, I'm going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to have to give my life there. And they're like, what? You're leaving? And so He shakes them and He rattles them to the core that He's going to leave them and He's going to die. And they're like, oh, don't die. You're too good. We have so enjoyed this time that we've had with You, and we so love Your presence, Jesus, that we've given up everything. We don't fish like we used to. That was our job. I'm not telling you not to go to work, okay? But they're like, we just give up everything because we just wanted You, and now You're telling me that You're going to leave us. And so in Acts chapter 1, He's getting ready to go. He's been with them 40 days. In a resurrected body. He's been with them 40 days, and it said that He was telling them about the kingdom of God. He's preparing them for that day that He's going to leave them. And so they're standing there, and look with me in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. And it says that as He said these things, He was lifted up while they were looking on. Could you imagine that? Standing in the sky going, oh, I loved Him so. And now He's gone. And now what am I going to do? Any of you ever gone through times in your life where you were so close to God and then all of a sudden it just felt like He just disappeared on you? Okay, I'm talking to myself right now. No, okay, now I see some nods. Then you're like, He was so close. Where did He go? Sometimes it feels like we're just looking into the sky. We're like, I don't know where He went. I honestly don't know where He went. What were they to do? He gave them instructions, and they remembered the instructions. It was to go back and be unified in that upper room. Just stay there and just wait until the Holy Spirit came upon them. And so for 10 days, they're waiting. And God's drawing their heart together. You think they're hungry and thirsty? Oh, I bet they're hungry. I bet they're like, oh, God, what do You have next? You have made us a promise. God, what are You going to do? How are You going to come through? And they're waiting, and I believe the Spirit of God began to just mount. Just began to build inside of them and build inside of them. I think that's happening with some of y'all. It's happening with me. Beginning to build and build until all of a sudden it's like they can't take it anymore. And it's like, bam, they got to go happen to the world. Now let me tell you, you want to know what I think the most amazing thing is about Pentecost? Do you know what that is? When the Spirit of God came down with such power that they began to preach the gospel with such boldness. It says they were declaring the mighty deeds of God. I think that's what happens when the Spirit of God begins to move in you. You just start declaring the good stuff that God is doing in your life. And so they just start declaring this stuff. And people think they're drunk. And they're like, we're not drunk. It's not even early enough to be drunk. Yeah? And they're just bold. And people are getting saved. 3,000 people got saved. Do you think that impresses me? It used to. But something actually impresses me more now as I read this story. 3,000 people got saved. That's every pastor's dream, folks. It might not be your dream, but it's every pastor's dream. You know what? I realize there's something better. And all of a sudden, the people start coming together and they start sharing things and they start having all things in common and they're selling off stuff in order that people might have more. And I'm like, that's impressive. Whew. But you know, that's not the most impressive thing. You want to know what I think the most impressive thing about Pentecost is? It's that the Spirit of God came down on God's people. And they never have to be alone again. The presence of God is the most precious thing about Pentecost. Because for those disciples who wondered, will I ever be alone again? You remember in the Bible when it promises that Jesus will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Do you know how He fulfills that promise to you? It's through the presence of His Holy Spirit. That's how He fulfills that promise to you. And so what is the most precious thing? For me, it's not 3,000 people getting saved anymore. That's a side effect of the presence and the power of God. The most important thing to me right now, right where I'm at today, is the presence of God. I got to tell you, I never experienced anything like it. I know last Sunday you guys came down and you ministered to me, and probably many of you thought that I was grieving over the life of Jason. And in reality, I had spent most of the day before grieving the life of Jason. That was actually the Spirit of God on me. And I never experienced it quite so heavy and quite so in that manner. And so Chris came over and he said, "Dude, are you okay?" And I'm like, "I don't know what I look like on the outside, but on the inside, I'm good. I'm just fine." And I know people began to, you know, to pray, and I don't know if any of you knew what was going on, but honestly, y'all, you weren't looking at grief. You were looking at somebody who had tasted of this thing that I told you for 10 years I had been praying for the presence of God like that. 10 years been praying. And the Spirit of God was on me. And now I got to tell you, there's just a hunger and a thirst. And I was driving down the road the other day, and I said, "Brantley, I got to explain something to you." I said, "I was driving down the road and nothing seemed important anymore." I mean, it honestly didn't. I know that the people say when God comes upon your life, sometimes everything changes and everything looks different. And I've had that experience. But this experience right now, as I was looking around, and nothing else seems to matter. If you were to tell me, "Kevin, are you willing to give it all up?" I'd say, "I'd give it up. That beautiful tree in that person's yard, that's not even my yard. I'll give it up." You know, all those houses, none of them are mine, God, that I'm driving by. I'll give them up. I'll give mine up. I just want you. I just want you, God. I don't have words for that, folks. Just like I think we're not telling these stories from Sunday because how did you say it? You can't describe the indescribable. You can't. And so I want you to experience it. I want you to experience the power of God's Holy Spirit, the way that He fulfills His promise in you, that He will never leave you or forsake you. The most beautiful thing that some of us are so afraid of is actually the person of God that dwells on earth today. Can I make that point real quick? The person of God dwells today in His Holy Spirit. He is not a thing. He is a person. He is a person. And just like you may have found love for God the Father and you have found love for Jesus Christ, His Son, I want to challenge you today to press in to the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Because He is the presence of God on earth. So if you're looking for God on earth, that is who He is. Now, where is He? The Bible tells us we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the dwelling place of God. And if we get that, everything changes. And so I'd love to go down this journey with y'all. That we would be a people at Ember, that priority number one is that we host the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want to challenge us with that. Is that we would host the very presence of the Holy Spirit. That every week we throw open the doors and we'd say, "Let the King of Glory come in. You're welcome here. Come on in." Now, I guarantee that everybody wants to be a part of a church where the Holy Spirit is moving and where big things are happening. You remember what I told you the other day? Everybody wants to be a part of a great church. You have to sow into a church for it to be a great church. Hear me? Hear me? You want to be a part of a great church? You may not even, you know, I don't even know if this is your church. But I can tell you this, it is regardless of wherever we are, that great churches are where people are sowing in. They're sowing in. And so I want to challenge you, do you want a great church today? Then sow in. How do you do it? Just love His presence more than anything else. Just get to the place where you're so hungry for Him that you'll have it. How does a church become the dwelling place of God? We each individually become the dwelling place of God. So that then, let's move us forward to Philippians 3. This is Paul talking. And he said something that I've only just experienced. He said what I said just a minute ago. He said, "I'll give up everything for the price of knowing you, God. I'll give up everything for the price of knowing you. I count it all as loss, but for knowing you. And then he says, here was his prayer, that I may know you. Do you see that? That I may know you. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that you know him in some kind of schoolroom, academic way. That word know means to experience. It means to feel. It means to be totally consumed by. When Paul said, oh, I'll give up everything just to know you. Do you see it? One who has been filled like no one else that we seem to think about even. What does he say? That I can just know you more. I just want to know you more. I have found the most beautiful, most precious, most valued thing. And all I want is you. And then Paul was able to look at people 20 years later. The message I preached last week, Paul came upon some disciples who had not been baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had not received the Holy Spirit. That's 20 years later. Does that excite anybody? Does that excite any? Do you see where I'm going with this? I'm 40 years old today. All right, I'm 40. Not, my birthday's not today, but I'm 40 years old. And the thought of 20 years from now of still being hungry and thirsty for God where He's the only thing, that's the pursuit right now. That's the pursuit. It's just God, just more of Him and His Holy Spirit. And then would it be the coolest thing that when I'm 60 years old, I could look at somebody and say, you know what? You look like you're missing something. And the reason I know that you're missing something, this is Kim and she's not missing anything. And the reason that I know that you're missing something is because I am so full of the Spirit of God. Here, this is Paul, okay? I'm talking for him as though I was him, okay? He looks at a person 20 years down the road and he says, I know there's something that's lacking inside of you because it's full in me. And so when I connected with you, I realized that it's not full in you, but that's okay because it can be. All you got to do is have some hunger and thirst. And this thing that God has done in me, I can give it away. Oh, that's good. Remember what he told the disciples? Freely you have received, now freely give. What is it that we're supposed to give? Yeah, we can give food. Yeah, we can give money. You want to know the most priceless thing, the most valuable thing that you can give somebody? Give them the Holy Spirit. Ooh, they'll never want again other than Him. And then they're in this endless cycle of the more I seek Him, the more I find Him. The more I find Him, the more I love Him. And so Paul was 20 years able to look at somebody and say, if you want more, if you want the Holy Spirit, I can give Him to you. All you have to do is be hungry and thirsty. How do you receive anything in the Bible? You receive it through faith. Kim, come up here. Kim wrote this week, and I asked her if she would be willing to share it. I think this becomes our invitation.
Kevin asked me Friday. I'm like, Friday, really? All weekend long, God has not allowed me to practice. I like to practice. Y'all like to practice. I want to know what the heck I'm going to say. I need bullet points. No. So I kind of want to preface this and say that, and if I cry, I'm sorry. Everybody that knows me knows I cry. About 3 years ago, 4 years ago, God completely set a group of people on fire, and I was one of those people. And what He set us on fire for was to see Him miraculously heal people. And in that, I began to understand who I was. And so over the last couple of years, I have pursued that. And last year in May, God sent me to California, to Bethel, to a healing conference. And man, I was lit up like I had never been lit up before. Even more than what I was before I went. And so now I've come back in this last year and life has set in. Seasons of my life have set in. And I too thought God was gone. Even though I knew that God was inside of me, that I felt like God was gone. And even though I took everything to Him, first fruits, every time something would happen, He was the person I would take it to first. Somehow or another, I don't even know how to put it. I just lost my connection with the Holy Spirit. even though he was there with me. And then Sunday, BFF, Kevin, my nickname for him, got on stage and was completely transparent. I kind of want to read what I wrote to him. I said, "Thank you for your willingness to bear all today, to be transparent and to share your heart and pain. Today's service has had more impact on me than anything I can remember. I want to be that laid down lover." And that was something that he mentioned that was in a song, the term laid down lover. At that time, I had no idea what that meant. I said, "I want to be that laid down lover for my daddy. My love and devotion for him was renewed today. I no longer want to be confined to the walls of the building. I want to be out there where the Jasons are." See, I knew Jason and his girlfriend Kim as well. And Kim had told me, and I told Kevin in this email, that she had told me that Jason was highly affected by what Kevin had been saying to him and talking to him and pursuing him, and that she really felt like Jason had accepted Christ in those last few hours, because he did live a short time. And she was just convinced that he had accepted Jesus in that time. So anyways, all week long, I was like, "Lay down, lover. What is that?" You know, so we Google everything. So I Googled it, and because I was like, "God, what is that? What is a laid down lover?" So God gave me this verse, Philippians 8, and it's 8 through 9, and then verse 12. It says, "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not that I have already gained or I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may hold on to that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." And I found this just perfect explanation of laid down lover. I'm going to read a little bit. It says, "A laid down lover has nothing to gain but Jesus. Everything is count as loss. They are consumed by him who has gripped their hearts with fiery, passionate, holy love. Their war cry is, 'Take the world, but give me you.' And in that moment, those who have given themselves over to this holy, radical call to give all for the sake of Jesus will be transformed by a greater love. They will burn for what he burns. They will move with compassion for what he is compassionate for. They will be totally and completely surrendered to the cross, the greatest expression of love. For this reason, we take up the cross, that we would walk in love. The cross is the expression of love is God's expression of love toward us and ours toward him. And in that union, the expression of divine love to the world." God kept showing me this week that, you know, in God's word, we are, the believers, are his bride. And that laid down lover, I'm his lover. I'm his beloved. He's my beloved. And I just want to be that laid down lover, that person just lays it down and says, "You know what, God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, all I want is you. And I want to do what you want to do, and I want to burn for what you want to burn. I want to love who you want to love." And the last 2 weeks have been awesome. A couple of people fell out. I fell out in the spirit. I've done that before, but this time it was just really awesome. And God and the Holy Spirit has just really been working in me. And I'm like, Kevin really just spoke my heart today, is that just to let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do in our lives and be very aware of him, not just today on Sunday, but every day of the week. And I've just been praying all week long, just more Holy Spirit, more. And there have been times this week that I was so heavy I couldn't breathe. I want that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So.
Amen. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. We're going to dismiss the service, and then we're going to play some music, and we're going to begin to minister. And so, are you satisfied with where you're at, or do you want more? And you should never think, "Man, you know what? God moved Sunday. I got no right to ask him to move again." Really? Because he has an infinite supply of love and grace and mercy and power. And so I've heard of people when the Spirit of God would move, it would move so thick that they would say, Lord, no more. And I said, you know what, if I ever get to that point, I'm going to try not to say, Lord, no more. I'm going to try to say, Lord, give me greater capacity to have even more. And so if there's anybody that just wants more today, then the stage is available if you need to spend time. And then I'm here. If you'd like to receive that fullness of the Holy Spirit, you receive it by faith. But sometimes there's something that happens when someone just lays hands on you and they just give it as a gift, the very presence of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to be up here. And if anybody does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would you promise me you will not live that life where you try to ride as close to hell as you possibly can and jump at the last minute? I would like for you to know the presence of God on this side. I'd like for you to know the goodness of God on this side. And so let me tell you about Him. We got some folks that I believe will come and minister. So if you guys will come on up on the cross to make that He'd live in us again, to move among those who are hungry and thirsty and fill them just like You promise You will. Lord, we're not going to tell You how to come. We're not going to try to remain dignified. We just want to pursue You. And Your gifts are good, but we want to pursue the giver of the gifts. And so, Father, thank You. Holy Spirit, thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.